Podcasting 2.0 for May 3rd, 2024, episode 178, Tepid Tub. It's Friday once again. Hello, everybody. I think we're on summer Fridays. I don't know. I think we're in a good season right now. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. We are the only boardroom that has value time splits. And we discuss everything happening in podcasting, everything going on at podcastindex.org, the namespace, podcasting2.org, podcastindex.social. And I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama, the man who lets you query him for up to 10,000 answers. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
No, it was not a peg leg tightening. That was tightening the microphone stand.
Just before we started, I hear this roar, 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 like a dentist drill or something. It's like,
is that
electric screwdriver?
Drill. Wireless drill.
You need to tighten up your microphone stand with a cordless drill.
It's a little concerning,
son.
It's one of the. Let's see. What is this? What stand? What stand is this? This is a Electro Voice Model 309A.
Oh, ancient.
Is it? Wait, or maybe that's just the thing.
But what? Where does it take a drill?
It's one of those stands that comes. That goes under. Tiny Tim is back.
Yes. I didn't want to say that. I saw it too in the boardroom. People, hello, calm down, board members. Calm down. Everyone's in the boardroom going crazy.
So it's one of those stands that like it doesn't go up and then come back down. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's low profile.
I really don't know what you mean. It's low profile.
Yeah, like it's...
Oh, so you have from... So I guess I'm still... Okay, maybe let me understand. What's the model number? Let me type this and let me look at a picture. What is it? What is it? What is this thing?
This may not be the stand, actually. This may be the little holder for the mic or the shock mount.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to find the actual... Because nothing listed on this
stand. I'm an old school guy where I want my mic, boom, and arm coming from above. And it seems like all the cool kids these days have it that come from below. You know what I mean? So the stand is low and it props the mic up and it's holding it from underneath. And I'm from OG where it has to come from above. I want it hanging down in front of my face. Hang it in front of my face.
Let's see, Elias camera mounts. Okay, maybe that's a...
Does that make sense?
It's an Elgato.
Oh, Elgato. Okay. All right.
Yeah, here it is. Elgato Mic Arm LP for low profile.
Ooh, low profile. Okay, let me
see. Wave. Elgato Wave Mic Arm LP.
Yes, I see it here. Okay, let me see.
So you're a top and I'm a bottom, is what you're saying.
Match made in heaven. Yes, exactly. This is okay. I don't like being a bottom. I like the top. I like the top much better. It feels like that would get in the way of my hands.
Well, it does kind of sometimes. But the problem is I can't, my podcast area is so small that like my screen is directly in front of me. And if I have the arm in front, it goes right in front of the monitor and I'm having to look around the monitor around the arm to see the screen.
This is how the pros do it. I literally have my eyes separating around the mic holder.
Stereo vision.
It splits my vision. Absolutely. And I've been doing that for 45 years. So, yeah,
it's really annoying. I hate it.
But if I had any other way, I think I would be uncomfortable.
Something would be wrong.
Yeah.
It would feel wrong.
Yeah. It would feel very wrong.
Well, see, the only problem with this LP mic arm is that it starts to, like, so I had to drill a hole in my desk, you know, to mount
the thing. Of course.
And so then it starts slowly over time. It starts to sag as the bolt holding it in from the bottom of the desk slowly unwinds itself for reasons I don't understand.
That's not good.
Like I'll all of a sudden notice I can't move my mouse is hitting the arm and I have to like go in there and
I realize I need to take another picture of my rig. People have no idea. I feel I have one of the coolest setups. You know, I have a desk.
Oh, sure you do. You always have a killer setup.
I had a desk made to order, to size, exactly for what I wanted. I'm going to have to take another picture. I got to clean it up a little bit, but yeah.
Nathan, I can't clamp it to the edge of the desk because there is no edge of this desk. This is a desk. It's an edgeless desk.
Yeah.
It's a built-in. This actually built this whole room during the course of this show. I think some people remember that. Like I built it around myself as we, you know, at one point I was sitting on a 5-gallon bucket doing the show. And this is like a built-in desk in there. It's surrounded on three sides by wall. Like it's actually built into the wall. So
okay, hold on.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah.
All right. I just took a picture.
Oh
yeah. I figured the boardroom, I can post it. I don't have to put this online. Just put it in the boardroom.
Give them
the benefit. Hold on a second.
I should do that too. I should take a picture of this. And see how weird it is.
Hey, I'm glad you tuned in and listened to this boardroom as we sit around taking pictures of ourselves and our gear.
Podcasting in general is so freaking boring right now. This is probably more.
Well, you know why? It's because we're not like all the cool kids. We're not doing video. As I listen to 2 hours again of the new media show, 2 hours about. Well, Utah, the trend is that all the kids are doing video. So tired of it. I saw the
title and swiped right.
I stick with it because I love them, but I really do. But it's getting harder to love them. It is. Just getting harder. It's like, I mean, was there any other talk except about the... Is Rob Greenlee paid by someone to promote YouTube?
He's with StreamYard, right? Aren't they a video streamer?
Oh, okay. So that's it then.
That's his job.
Okay. Well, then I understand. Just like, come on. It's like the same conversation every week. I'm going to be on a 15-hour plane ride. Video is the way to go. That's all I hear. I did learn something else though. And it kind of made sense. Actually, I learned a lot of things. Because I learned a lot about the hosting business and kind of the sausage of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And Todd was talking.
The sausage of podcasting.
Yeah, how the sausage is made.
Yes. Did
the ping go out? Did we get I did the live thing, didn't I?
Oh, I thought I did.
I thought so. Let me make sure. I'm getting complaints.
I don't know.
I'm getting complaints.
Yeah, I didn't get a ping.
You didn't get a ping? I'm pretty sure I pumped.
No. The tag isn't lit.
But I thought I did it. Okay, well, I did
five,
it again.
5-3. No, I mean, it's the tag. It's the tag still says pending.
No, I understand, live. But I thought I had posted with the live tag.
False.
Oh, well, okay. Then it should go in a moment.
You got to bust the cache. I sent you a picture of my thing. Did you see that?
I don't know if I want to see a picture of your thing.
We were talking about sausage, so I figured it was appropriate.
Wow, you need to put that in the chat.
Well, can you put it in the chat? Because sure. I don't have a way to put it. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's
a disaster. It looks
we are
terrible.
Different. We are different yes. men. I mean, the picture of my thing is very different from the picture of your thing.
I can't help it.
I know.
My mic arm is much longer than your mic arm.
Yeah. Man, you're right on the edge. You got no room.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible. It's so bad.
I do love the bedside lamp accessory.
did the lamp get in the pick?
Hell yeah, the lamp got in the pick. I like that. Oh, that's very nice. I like that as an accessory. And then
see how my mouse is directly under the arm. That's when I start hitting the arm. I'm like, it's sagging. Time to tighten up,
bro. surely you could get a little more space than this.
I'm literally in a closet.
I've been there many times for years and years. I was podcasting from the Cludio. Remember that was my closet, the Cludio.
Oh yeah, the Cludio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you see the shelf that's above directly above the monitor?
Yes, that's a shelf.
Yes, that's a shelf, and with bins on it. And above that is another shelf, and above that is another shelf.
Now, I'm going to put these in the show notes since people be like, what is going on with it? What are these guys talking about? So here's what I learned. All right. First of all, just to reiterate, doing video on YouTube is the trend of podcasting. Just remember that. It's the trend.
Whatever.
Just so you know, it's the trend. Don't fight the trend. Don't fight all the people who call YouTube. That's a podcast. Don't fight the trend.
If you fight, you're going to lose.
Yeah, you're going to lose. You want to lose out. The industry is moving in this direction.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, I was walking the dog last night, and I think I let out an audible, like one of those sounds. And the dog's looking at me, what's wrong with you, bro? What's going on? I couldn't take it anymore.
Yes.
I mean, there's literally no other conversation.
That's what I'm saying. Podcasting is boring right now. It's just all of it is boring.
So here's what I learned on the New Media Show. That and this, of course, now you recall we went to the second and only and definitely the last time I've ever been to a podcast conference. You and I went to Dallas and we had a session.
Wait, did you? You said second only and last time.
Second.
I was like trying. My brain was like,
yeah. Hey, video. Okay, just video. My brain is on video mode.
Okay, sorry.
The second time I've ever been. No, I think it's the first and only. No, it's the first and only time of. No. The first one was the
award.
The New Media Expo. I've been to that. Okay.
Okay.
So this was this was the podcast movement. And what did they do? And people are surprised when I say, we did a thing and we talked about podcasting 2.0. Oh, it was the keynote? No. They put us in a little room at lunchtime in the back.
Yes, they did.
And, but now I remember why. Because Todd is talking about podcast movement in Washington, D.C., where they, of course, have purchased a booth because this is their business. And they said, and we also purchased a session. I'm like, oh, I forgot. These things are pay to play. If you want a keynote, you got to pay. You got to pay a gold sponsorship. I forgot about that. It's not about podcasting.
Yeah, we didn't pay anything. So we ended up behind the lunchroom.
Yeah. And this is what, just a reminder, the very first podcast conference. I want to say it was 2007, maybe. And the guys who set that up did form. I think they did the New Media Expo initially. And I think it was in Vegas. I think I can't remember so long ago. And they said, would you do the keynote? It's like, yeah, I really don't like doing conferences, but yeah, I'll do the keynote. Okay. And you'll need to buy a gold sponsorship. What?
Yes.
What now?
I've heard this story.
Yeah. And so we literally went to Vegas and had an unconference next door. It made me so mad. It's like, you're not about podcasting. These conferences aren't about podcasting. They're about making money off of podcasters.
Well, Sam Sethi wants to do like an online thing. Did you say that?
Yeah. This is what I suggested. I said, why don't we do it online? Do it live and lit.
Mm-hmm.
And now I saw Benjamin Bellamy jump in and say, let's do it in Paris.
Oh, okay. In Paris.
Yeah.
He pays. I'll go, but he has to pay.
I think it should just be online, make it live, make it value for value, charge nothing. I mean, it'll cost some time to organize it, but everyone can do it from home. What more do you need? Isn't this if you want to go and hang out and drink with people and spend money, then yeah, go to the movement. Go to the movement.
I would definitely hang out on a live thing and do a session or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like fun. I mean, I think having a like doing an event where there's like a few hours where different people teach different parts of podcasting 2.0, that sounds fun. And
yeah, there's so many questions. Learn. Yeah. I mean, how do I set up my wallet? I'm a musician. How do I do it? I mean, all of these are great things. I was just hearing on the live stream before we started, I was listening to Unrelenting with Darren and Gene. And so Darren, he's like, okay, now I have my Umbral set up. I got my liquidity. I got my sats going back. And I was like, wow, you really went out there. I said, now I want to set up wallets for other people. Do they do that with LN bits? I'm like, oh man, you know, there's no education out there. So I go to podcasting2.org, which was what podcastindex.org was going to be. Mm-hmm. Had we accepted Daniel J. Lewis's offer. I mean, I'm sorry. I understand that it's a labor of love, but where do I learn stuff? Mm. You know,
if we did, that's where I can, or we, or somebody, you know, maybe that's where the community can help, is by doing some sort of instructional content, like little short videos about, or something like that, that could be embedded on the podcasting2.org site about each little thing.
The best place for this is with the podcast hosting companies. And I find personally, if I look at rssblue.com and podhome.fm, those guys, they're doing a pretty good job. They've got some pretty decent explanation of what to do. You want, if you're a musician, I can send you to rssblue.com/music. I can also send you to Wavelake. But if you just want to go learn about it, it's really not there. I don't think that's our job, Adam and Dave's job. That's also not what we're good at. That's why it's not our job. Anyway, right. I'm just in a complaining kind of mood. So then I heard on
podcasting2.org, though, that's I've always thought that was more. I thought that what triggered that whole thing was to try to instruct people, like people within the podcast world, like people like the hosts of the feed that said that they didn't know anything about podcasting 2.0.
Well, when I come in and it says upgrade to podcast namespace as just a podcaster, my eyes are rolling in my head already.
Can we put a pin in that, by the way?
Yeah, sure. I'm not saying that anyone's doing a bad job on this. It's just that I thought it was going to be marketing oriented, and it doesn't really feel like that.
Because I want to come back to something you said. Upgrading to the podcast namespace reminded me of a comment on Pod News Weekly Review about replacing the iTunes namespace.
Oh, I want to come back to that. No, do that right now. I just heard that, and
I thought you had more complaining.
Oh, well, then let me complain some more. I'll lead you into complaints about Pod News Weekly Review. Right. So the complaint I had is, and it was a little unclear because I guess they had some conversation about music and Spotify and whatever, and on the last episode, and they must have cut that out, or I don't know. It was a little confusing. But then James said, if I heard him right, he said, you know, this has nothing to do with podcasting. I'm like, well, hold on a second. Music is podcasting now these days. Now, he may not think so, but I think so. If you have an RSS feed and you have an MP3 in there or any other type of enclosure, it's a podcast. And very appropriately, so, you know, the story was kind of about the compensation of copyrighted musical works on Spotify, that they've figured out a cool way to lower that because they're now a bundled service, having added audiobooks. Didn't we talk about that last week, I think?
Yeah, that was a genius move on their part.
Yeah.
Kudos.
And for John, I don't know, James, like, oh, we're not talking about, I don't know why that was, or something weird. It almost sounded like Spotify and called and said, don't you dare talk about us like that. Remove your Spotify account. I don't know what it was. It was something weird.
Satan is their marketing guy.
Well, that's for sure. And so I come across this video on X, and I thought it was so appropriate because, as usual, we're right on time with this stuff.
So the second round of cuts have hit Universal. And last week it was Interscope. This week it's Capitol. And I want you to notice the divisions that they're cutting. I mean, they are cutting out whole divisions. And it's from the executive to the street level. And it's mostly in radio promotion and marketing and creative. So what does that mean? Record companies are going tech. Taking all of the personal element out of it very slowly. And if radio doesn't feed the monster soon, radio is going to get eaten by the monster. And that's where the next cuts are going to happen.
Completely agree. This is exactly where we're at.
What was this? What did I just hear?
This is a music, a label guy talking about the cuts that are taking place at labels. And, you know, and so it's the entire vertical. It's from the executive, you know, it's all the radio division. So, you know, how has radio always traditionally worked? It's a discovery mechanism. Mm-hmm. And kids aren't listening to radio anymore. You're not discovering your music on radio. You're discovering.
Did you see Sirius XM's numbers? Oh,
no, I did
not. That was brutal.
No, I did not.
Oh, they lost like 500,000 subscribers in the first quarter.
But they must have had at least $1 billion in podcast advertising because someone has it.
It's somewhere.
It's somewhere.
Somebody's got the.
I hear it's 2 billion. It's 2 billion now.
Somebody has the other 1.8 billion. I'm not sure where it is, but it's somewhere.
It's somewhere. I mean, Joe Rogan has a quarter billion. So, you know.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So it's the other 1.8 somewhere. CPM's holding steady, according to Lipson. So we're good.
So I bring this up on the day, of course, that is the unofficial 1 year anniversary of the value time split.
Yes.
And we played on episode 131. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, especially to Alex Gates, who had a large hand in this. Episode 131 of the boardroom, the 131st board meeting. And we played
Stephen B for running with that humongous
testicle slicing scissors. Exactly.
Yes.
And we played Joe Martin's High Gravity as the very first value time split. And so I feel sad for the radio promotion people, there's a whole system that has worked for so long in radio, but radio. Yeah. Okay. They still have $100 billion worth of advertising, I'm sure, but there is such an opportunity that we're taking advantage of with these music shows. And it'll take years as things usually do, but the human element is there. That's what I like so much. It's not an automated playlist that comes from some deal with the label, which comes from some independent promoter who's paid for ads on stations, and the ads are part of the charts, and the charts are a part of the feedback loop. And, you know, and then we'll have everything the old school way, except the drugs and the hookers. Everything else will be the same, and it'll be great. Marketing, promotion, artist relations, sharing music. When I put together a Boost the Grand Ball, I have another one coming. I go out and listen to the other shows. What are these guys playing? What are they picking up on? Mm-hmm. You know, this.
You got another ball coming?
I got a ball coming. I got a ball ready to drop.
Because I was noticing the other day that it's been a while. It's been
busy. A gap. I know, it's been busy. I mean, we got three wars going on, you know, China on deck.
You're a busy man.
Yeah, exactly.
There's definitely skullduggery going on across the, across all of this, all of the media entertainment ecosystem. Hmm. I saw Paramount looks like they're about to get, bid on by Sony. And
Paramount is, I mean, the value is dropped in half. It's about to be purchased in bits and pieces by Larry Ellison's kid over at Apollo. And what is it really worth? Who cares anymore? Someone told me, I was reading somewhere, whatever you do, don't sell your DVD and Blu-ray players because this streaming thing just might not work out.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was right. I mean, that would not come as a shocker to me. Right? I feel like we've gone too far too fast.
Well, when we had money, it was easy. We got to remind people about this.
Everybody started saying that that bandwidth was no longer an impediment, but that really wasn't the case. Bandwidth is not an impediment only if you have lots and lots of free money. If you have no free money, bandwidth is a real impediment. If you're pushing petabytes of data a day, mm-hmm. somebody has to pay for that, and it is not cheap. And somebody has to pay for the rights of all this content. And I feel like we went. This is similar to this is similar to the Kindle ebook reader stuff. that went very fast. And it was like, oh, cool. Look, here's a thing that you can do where you can distribute books over electronically over the internet to a device.
Mm.
And obviously, because the fact that you can do that means that books are dead and nobody is there, and we're not going to need books anymore. And all the bookstores are going to be gone. This is a book killer. And then you had people calling them dead trees, you know, traditional books, but in a derisive way.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, as most people's Kindles get worn down and the battery starts having problems or the screen gets wonky, they just toss them in the trash and they don't buy a new one. Same thing that happened with the Alexa and all the smart home devices. These people have not they slowly, the attrition has happened. And guess what? Now you go around town, at least here in Birmingham, there's a fairly decent number of bookstores now that have come back. I mean, there's a thriving market now for real paper books.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that that it's as thriving as it was, for sure. And I think digital books have a very long future ahead of them.
Sure. Yeah, sure. But I can tell you, name at least half a dozen people that I know of that were all Kindle all the time, and they just didn't want to.
Sure.
Eventually it just evaporated onto the shelf somewhere into a drawer. And now whenever they read a book.
Like, yeah.
You know, it balanced out. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, I'm starting to see it now. Used to, we would see on the streaming side of things, what you would do, you knew that whatever it was you were going to watch would be free somewhere. And so you would just figure out, okay, is it on Netflix? Is it on Prime? Is it on Hulu? Is it on Apple? Where is it? You knew it was going to be free. Somebody had the rights. That is now no longer the case.
Right.
Many times you're like, oh, I want to go watch this old TV show or this old movie, and you can't find it for free with a subscription anywhere. And so you end up having to buy it. And at that point, I'm like, well, you know what? If I'm having to buy it anyway, maybe I just buy it in the hard copy and have it forever. But, I mean, I guess I'm saying that I think that, like, with the free money, things go, people get over their skis a little too far.
Yeah.
And then it has to balance out. And that may be what's happening now.
Yes. And I think if you're going to read a book, then I would suggest Neil Postman's Amusing Ourselves to Death, because that's exactly where we're at. We have amused ourselves into oblivion. It's too much. It's too much. And, you know, the idea that we're all going to be discovered through discovery, through algorithms.
Yeah.
This is why you need to be on YouTube to be discovered, because podcasting has no algorithms. You need to be regular, consistent, make an outstanding product in audio, I would say, and you'll be okay. Everything else is crap. It's all turned to crap. It's just crap.
Yeah.
Please.
People are getting smoked. I mean, like, yeah. The unemployment rate, I saw that chart, or not the unemployment, but the hiring rate
is way down.
Yeah. Is the lowest it's been, population adjusted. The hiring rate is the lowest it's been since 2016. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah. Dwev says Cory Doctorow and shitification. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Exactly right.
That's true.
And then you saw Amazon, speaking of the Alexa stuff and how we've had this pullback against, I'm trying to label this phenomenon, and I don't know exactly what to call it. But it's this idea that we just went way out in front, and now things are balancing back out. Because did you see that Amazon laid off, like, got rid of almost all their Alexa team?
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Because
I mean, they no one wants that anymore. Department yeah. to the bone.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
because nobody's buying those things. We used to have five in our house. Now we have one.
I can't believe you still have one.
It's in my daughter's room for her to listen to Spotify on. That's all she ever does to it. And we used to have five of those things. And I can just see there's this idea that technology,
the days of ZERP, I think that's a good one.
Zero interest rate policy. Yeah.
Zero interest rate policy. Yeah.
Phenomenon. Zero interest rate phenomenon. Days of
ZERP, like ZERP.
Yeah. It's the end of the hype cycle. Yeah, that's right. It's the end of the hype cycle. But there's a lot of these hype cycles are ending all at once. I think that's what it is. It's like this overlap of like four or five different hype cycles. One of which is I think the AI hype cycle is starting to fade.
Let me tell you. I got a clip here for you.
Ooh,
about cool. The AI hype cycle.
Okay.
So for me, the joke always is if we only had more power, more compute power, it would work if we had more compute power. Right? We need more chips, more compute power. Then it won't make mistakes. Then it won't hallucinate.
Yes.
So Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock. And BlackRock is arguably, when Larry Fink speaks, people listen because he's BlackRock has $10 trillion under investment management. BlackRock owns at least 4 to 5% of everything, except podcasting.
Yeah, literally
2.0,
everything. Yes.
You can look at any shareholder statement. Oh, there's BlackRock. So when he speaks, and he was at the World Economic Forum, which normally I would ignore, it's a drinking club, but he was in Saudi Arabia 2 days ago. And he brings up the issue of AI. Now, bear in mind, please, that we're still, trying to get Apple and other organizations to use Podping. And then we see a lot of very forward-thinking groups starting to jump on the Podping bandwagon.
Yep, Pocket Cast.
But also on the hosting side, we've got Spreaker, I think.
Spreaker, yeah, audio means.
And podcast, Bean podcast, what is it?
Podbean,
exactly.
Yep. These are audio means, which is a French podcasting.
Mais oui. So these are very smart, forward-thinking people because, it's wasteful. Polling an RSS feed is just wasteful. So, this beautiful Podping thing is set up. Now let's see where the AI guys are going with power. See if they're wasting anything. This is Larry Fink.
Because of the amount of capital that's needed for AI, all the new technology that we've developed, probably in an entirety, was a domain of startups. And the whole ecosystem was venture capital and the startups. The ecosystem has changed dramatically. AI is a domain of large caps. And I do believe to properly build out AI, we're talking about trillions of dollars of investing. God. So data centers today could be as much as 200 megahertz. They're now talking about data centers are going to be 1 gigawatt. That's what powers a city. There was one tech company that I spoke to the CEO last week who said right now all their data centers is about 5 gigawatts. By 2030, they need 30 gigawatts.
God almighty.
The amount of power that's needed to use AI has huge impact on society.
Yeah.
Where's that power going to come from? Are we going to take it off the grid? What does it mean for elevated energy prices?
Solar panels.
For everybody else, if it's that? I think it's going to represent some huge societal questions that we have not addressed, the negative side. Forget about the use of it, but just the generation of it is massive power.
Wind.
Okay, but that is a huge investment opportunity. So that we the world is going to be short power, and to power these data companies, you cannot have just this intermittent power like wind and solar. You need dispatchable power because they can't turn off and on these data centers. And so it's a combination. I just want to end on a positive note. All this presents massive economic opportunity. So we're talking about technology and all that stuff, but think about. If to build these things, you're going to have to go long air conditioning companies. I mean, the basic stuff. I mean, the amount of investments that are going to be needed to do all this, alongside investing in the emerging world and healthcare and all the other issues, this is why I'm bullish. I see opportunity. I don't see problems as much as massive opportunity.
Notice he didn't mention climate change in this massive power. I mean, what is going on here?
He went off the rails at the end. I didn't know what, like, he...
Yeah, because all of a sudden he realizes that he's talking about investing trillions of dollars into stupid compute while people are right. homeless, they're drug addicts on the street. I mean, there's all kinds of problems we got. And all he can think of is, trillions, power, need more power, 30 megabytes, 30 megawatts of power.
Gigawatts.
Gigawatts.
30 gigawatts.
Yeah. And I mean, this is not going to work. This is a pipe dream.
No, this is yeah, stupid compute. That's exactly what this is. The idea that this is going to, so, well, here's what Microsoft, I don't know if you saw this, Satya Nadella's memo to Microsoft.
No.
Satya Nadella's Microsoft memo on putting security first.
Microsoft. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the DLLs, guys, that's what we need to check.
Microsoft is overhauling its security processes after a series of high profile attacks in recent years. Security is now Microsoft's, quote, top priority, the company outlined today in response to ongoing questions from the U.S. Cyber Safety Review Board's labeling of Microsoft's security culture as inadequate.
Oh, boy. Ooh, so bad report.
Yeah, Satya put out a memo, company-wide memo, and he said, today I want to talk about something critical to our company's future, prioritizing security above all else. And he goes on, but he says...
we'll fix it with AI, please tell me.
No. He says that is the number one priority at the company. Everything they do is going to be about security going forward. We'll commit the entirety of our organization to our Secure Future initiative. And he says, if you're faced with the trade-off between security and another priority, your answer is clear. Do security.
Okay.
So this 6 months ago, you could have written this same memo
to say AI.
ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And he would have said the exact same thing about AI. That tells me that AI is now starting to fade. They're moving on because it's a money sink. They hadn't figured out how to make any money off of it. If I hope Larry Fink invests billions of dollars into all of that stuff to get to trillions, his 30 gig data
trillions,
center.
Trillions
of dollars, because that is going to be a complete disaster. That when that thing dries up, the AI hype cycle to me is going to be end up being the shortest hype cycle of all of the Silicon Valley stuff. It's going to come and go faster than any of them by a factor of five.
And you could kind of see that, because once podcast hosting companies were touting this as great features to have, you kind of knew that was the, I mean, we honestly, and let's say this with love, but podcast hosting companies, we're at the bottom of the barrel of tech. You know, so when it gets down to, we've got AI, it's like, it's like we've got ham radios too.
It's sort of like people used to always say about Birmingham, by the time we get like a new trendy restaurant thing, it's already already 3 years out of date.
It's out of date, yeah.
Yeah.
And
by the time we got the make your own yogurt shops, it was like, they were already gone in California.
And I think I said this last week. I just want to reiterate, I understand the hosting business. It's not an easy business. And I appreciate I love seeing that huge list that Spurlock put together of all, the percent, market share of whatever, OP3 market share of hosting companies. It must have been 300 companies before he stopped counting. And that's beautiful to see. And I understand that you want to grow, but you probably also want to have retention, and you also want to steal people from other companies. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. But when we're down to, like your main feature is you can get, a penny for each time someone downloads your podcast, And that's supposed to be a feature. I mean, talk about enshittification. I mean, because people, you know, people aren't motivated. There's no motivator except, hey, someone in Lithuania downloaded my podcast. There's no motivator with stats. And I'll just say one more time, if you put some kind of value for value streaming in there and you educate your customers on how to get their listeners to use modern podcast apps, which is becoming easier and easier, especially the onboarding part. It's becoming very easy now with Lightning integration. Okay, it's Coinbase today, but you have Strike. There's all kinds of easier ways to onboard people into the Lightning ecosystem.
Well, PayPal just partnered with MoonPay.
Oh, really? Oh, that made MoonPay. Yes. Oh, that makes them look official then. This is good.
Yeah. There's a lot of good onboarding stuff happening.
Every single time I show somebody streaming sats coming in, and I can show it on my Zeus app from a wallet. Of course, you don't see the boostograms. Or I show using Helipad. That's what gets people excited. Like, wow. So that's someone listening right now? So yeah. And they're sending me a little fraction of value for what I do. That gets people excited. Invest in that. Invest in that. Everything else is like, oh, it's just a penny from some ad that no one wanted to hear. It's all so negative.
Yeah.
You do something positive.
Well, and also the advertising, you know, go back. I think we talked about it last week. Spotify's monthly active users, as a share of revenue, the premium users, meaning the users that pay, their revenue, it was like 80% of their revenue came from the paid users, not the ad supported users. Ad supported users was 10x lower. So as far as in revenue goes, so I mean, like paying for things instead of selling ads on things is it. I mean, look at that. The only thing keeping cable television companies afloat right now is the carriage fees. Is people paying for it?
Yes.
If they had to survive just on advertising,
be out of business.
Right. The people, households paying hard cash for a cable subscription is what is keeping them in business. The advertising is just gravy. You know, it's just extra. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to come back to podcasting and the hosting companies. Because it's just so destructive what I see taking place, because everyone's talking about YouTube, and it's not about video. It's about YouTube. Okay. Let's just call it what it is. You want to do video? Most podcast apps do video. Apple Podcast does video, but no one does video because very few companies offer it. And, it's not as easy as uploading to YouTube, but everybody who's, you know, going on board and making it easy for your customers to upload to YouTube. Don't come crying when your people are gone, when Google has sucked them up. Yeah. This is what they do. They suck up RSS and then destroy it. That's what they do.
I've got a good to formalize the publisher tag in the namespace today.
Yeah.
So that's live. That's live. That's up. Yeah, good to go.
Good.
And I think that's something that hosting companies can take advantage of. I think the podcasting 2.0 is about, one of the things that we try to do is provide new features for hosting companies to use. The index is the app's best friend. Podcasting 2.0 is the hosting company's best friend, because it's a way to bring new features to podcasting for your customers so that you can exceed what is possible on closed systems.
I think that's a great description. I really love that. Unfortunately, that we're just going to have to wait until everyone has gotten the YouTube thing out of their system.
Because it'll pass.
Yeah, but you know, YouTube buys articles in the New York Times. With YouTube booming, podcast creators get camera ready.
Yeah.
You know, it's like once you get over that, then we'll still be here. You know, we saw podcasting stagnate for a decade because everyone was like, well, Apple will never use that feature.
Clubhouse was the hottest thing since sliced Clubhouse. Bread for about a year.
Another perfect example. Oh, Clubhouse. Oh, yeah, this is the future of podcasting.
Yeah, and then when everybody bails out and goes out the back door, everything goes back to the way it was.
Yeah.
And the same thing's going to happen with YouTube. If as long as the hosting companies resist the urge to play ball.
No, but they're playing ball, Dave. They're all playing ball. One way or the other. Even Todd is playing ball with YouTube.
Todd said they could, he'll never play ball with YouTube.
He's playing ball. You can now buy an account on Blueberry for your YouTube channel.
And then suck the videos out, yeah.
And it's playing.
He's getting people out of YouTube.
It's playing ball.
He's trying to pull people out.
Even though it was my idea, he's also doing the alternate enclosure for the YouTube embed. People are playing ball, but it's more the overall idea, and it's also I'm not ashamed to say it. If you don't have an RSS feed, it's not a podcast. And people can jump up and down and say, Curry, no one cares what you say. And you're probably right. But YouTube is not a podcast. And you'll find out. F-A-F-O.
FAFO.
F-A-F-O.
What is F-A-F-O?
F around and find out.
Oh.
F-A-F-O. Okay. Yes. Yeah. You'll find out. You'll find out. And it's
I don't. So.
I'm frustrated. I'm spiraling. Yeah, I guess I am. It's like, what? What are we doing? Stop. You know, everyone's just running around trying to get some money somewhere. Focus, well, people. Focus.
I think this comes from. I think this comes from the. Having lived through the people who were in blogs, I don't think this necessarily affected the podcast world very much at the time, but the people who were in, like us, who were part of when Google Reader died, who were building RSS based software. For, you know, they were mostly in the blogosphere, not in podcasting was kind of its own form of RSS at the time and still is. But people like us that lived through the Google Reader death, I think, have a different perspective on. And I don't mean just you had a Google Reader account and you were there. I mean, people who saw the slow attrition of any other competing product until Google Reader became the dominant thing, and then they rug pulled it like that. That took a number of years to come to fruition. Google got everybody into their ecosystem. They pulled everybody in, and then they just rug pulled everybody by killing it and thought it would be the death blow to RSS. Turns out it wasn't, but it was close. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
The rug pull came with a replacement, which was, I think, Google Plus. Was that what it was? Or was it Google Wave or any number of products?
With the circles and all that, friend circles.
So it's.
I just think we have a different perspective than maybe some people in the podcasting world, because that never really hurt them that bad. Because podcasting is its own, had its own, they weren't really affected by Google Reader. But if you lived through that, you saw how tumultuous it was and how it almost killed the whole use of the protocol. And it makes you not trust Google in any way.
Well,
when they start to get it, when they start to get a dominant position over an open, over something that used to be open, you have to get very nervous.
So along with that comes, I'm glad you brought up blogging, because we're seeing the same thing now with blogging companies as we did with blogging companies. You know, you can get ads, you can get banners, you'll make money, you can do subscriptions. You know, that all went away.
Feed burner.
Well, there's that. There's that.
That was a way of putting ads into dynamic ad insertion, right?
Yeah, but my point is, it's not like a magical thing. You start a podcast, you do something, and then you get advertising. You know, there's a lot of crap. Not everyone deserves to make money. Not everyone should be making money. Some stuff should just be crap. It's okay.
Yeah.
Crap's good too. But this whole like, oh, this promises and oh, it's going to be this and that. And grow your show. Just do your podcast. Have fun.
So I guess what I was trying to say is the publisher feeds thing, I think, is an example of one thing that hosting companies can adopt now. If you have, I know quite a few hosting companies have customers that publish a bunch of different feeds. You know, they have a business customer that may have 4, 5, 6 or more feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Offering them a publisher feed that wraps all their normal feeds into one and makes that easy. That would be a great thing to offer. It'd be a great thing to offer because that does help with discoverability. Because we, you know, once, just like with blog roll and pod roll and these other tags, the more of the discoverability stuff we can help enable, then the platforms, the listening platforms can begin to crawl that data and actually put together things that look better.
Yeah, better display, etc. Now I'm excited about that. I'm very excited about that.
Because that's one thing that the more closed systems have that we don't is the ability to sort of do better aggregation on the receiving side. Because you think about something like Apple Podcasts, their directory, they have a lot of visibility that we don't have. They know somebody gets onto Apple Podcast Connect. This is what we talked about one time before a while back about Google.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the power of how Google became such a good search engine had nothing to do with their crawling ability, and had a lot to do with how they convinced millions of webmasters to go and enter in all the data about their website to the Google webmaster tools. So once they had all that data plugged in by a real person on the back end that gave Google first party access to what the structure of their site was supposed to be, that had a huge impact on the quality of the search. So in the same way, Apple and Spotify get benefits like that when they have access to the first party data of people going into Apple Podcast Connect or Spotify dashboard, Megaphone dashboard, these things that allow them to see connectivity between different bits of data that we don't see, because all we're doing is collecting the RSS feed. Well, now if you have a publisher feed where you can collect, where you can see, these four shows are all belong to the same parent entity, then you can do really cool stuff with that. And the immediate use case that we have is for musicians to pull their different feeds, mm-hmm. their different albums into one artist feed. That's obviously the first one, but then but it goes beyond that. I mean, if one of your, think about who are our buddies over there at Focus on the Family.
Yes, Rob.
You know, Rob. And, you know, they have a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could easily publish a publisher feed. And now anybody who's crawling that data can have a really cool user experience to say, oh, you just subscribed to this show. Here's four other shows by Focus on the Family that you may be interested in. Yeah.
I hope that apps will implement it. I don't think anyone's, except for Sam Sethi. Whatever I say on the show, Sam, we know you're doing it.
Right.
Blog roll, pod roll, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm not sure what's being implemented because we don't. A lot of the open. I'm not sure if that's the right term. Like people like Pocket Cast have a PR, mechanism in place. I mean, mm-hmm. they put out press releases mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
People like Mitch and Franco and Jason over podcast, they don't do a lot of that kind of thing. I mean, they will do it. They'll do it from time to time, but a lot of times we don't know what they've done and what they haven't. Right. So I'm not sure what's been done on some of those things. Right. The publisher feed just got formalized today. So, and I know Oscar's been waiting on that because he wants to get those artists.
Yeah. For the music. Yeah. Collated. For sure. Good.
Yeah. So, we're getting there. I mean, I think I feel you on the hosting side. I mean, it's been hard. I
see energy going into things and stuff like AI mm-hmm. and all that. I'm like, let's put it into, doing things that work. That have a future and is not some add on strap. It's a strap on stuff. It's just strap on.
You know? I think the best thing we can do is
complain. Just complain more. Just sit here and complain.
It's so helpful.
Grouse.
yes. Yeah. Gripe. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be too negative.
Okay. Moving beyond our, febrile raging at everything going on in podcasting.
At other shows who actually, yes. I mean, and by the way, I love these shows. I cannot not listen to these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm tired of boosting back my feedback. It's like, I got a show. Let me complain about it here.
So do you want to talk about the iTunes namespace real quick?
Only if you let me play the jingle.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Yeah, there's two things we got to talk about.
Okay. I may have one other.
Well, then go ahead.
No, I want to hear your list, your two-part list.
Well, the one is, first, I guess a misconception that popped up. I don't think either of us have ever said that the podcast namespace should be replacing the iTunes namespace. I don't think that was ever said. So wherever that came from, that's a misconception. I don't think we've ever said that. The concept of a drop-in replacement for, I think, specifically the block tag we may have discussed, which immediately becomes the second and final item on my list. As Mitch sent us a note, a lot of people are trying to access a feed, a podcast through Podverse, which mm-hmm. has a blocked an iTunes. It actually has an iTunes and a Google block tag. I looked at the feed, which I don't think I've ever seen that from Megaphone. And so we're not importing that. And his question is, since Apple ignores it, is it time for us to just ignore it? And I know it's come up in the past. I think it's up to you, really. It's not for me to decide this somehow.
Let's take the second one first. the block tag, I can't ignore it completely because there are some of our hosting friends that really, they depend on us honoring that.
The iTunes block? Order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I can talk to them over time and try to get them to switch.
Let me ask you a question. They want us to honor it because they're allowing people to create an iTunes block tag?
Yeah. So they use, I know one in particular uses it for private feeds. So if they have a private feed that's for like a membership type thing, they'll put an iTunes block tag in the feed.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is, we've talked about the problems with the iTunes block tag in, you know, ad nauseum in the past. It's just the worst.
Well, it seems like using the iTunes block tag to signal that you have a private feed is not a great way to do it.
No, it's not, because, but it's the only thing that had been until we created the podcast block tag. There's
right. Well, maybe said hosting company can change something so we can move forward. It seems like someone's holding us back in this.
Yeah, I think going forward, we need to encourage people to use a better tag, which the podcast block tag is better in every way, because you can just get granular and you can be specific and all that kind of thing. Because one of the biggest problems with the iTunes block tag is that people don't know, everybody handles it differently. And then everybody that puts it in there thinks it's going to be handled in a certain way, and that's not the case. So there's a huge disconnect between what people think they're doing when they put the iTunes block tag in and what actually happens when the iTunes block tag gets in. But for now, there's this specific feed, Gary Brecka.
That's a health guy. It's a pretty big podcast.
And so he's got iTunes block tag in there. So we honor that and we block it. And yet it shows up in like tons of other apps, even on Apple, even in their app. And that just doesn't seem right. So what I'm going to do as an interim fix for this is I'm going to flag the database differently so that we can mark manually, in cases like this, we can mark that this particular podcast
can bypass
needs to ignore it. Yes.
Okay.
I hate that because it's more manual work for everybody, but
I know, but in this case we're hurting. Well, specifically we're hurting Podverse.
Yeah.
Mitch says it's a lot of their users are saying, hey, how come I can't get this? And that's a reason someone would not use that app.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes. And I don't,
yeah, I get it.
So I can give Mitch admin access on the podcast index dashboard if he sees more of those.
Very bad idea.
I retract it. I take it back. You're not getting that, Mitch. So that's an easy fix, I think. I should be able to get that done this week. Replacing the iTunes namespace. I don't exactly know the details of what we said in the past, but I can tell you what my mental ideas have been for that.
Yeah.
Or my mental framework for that has been since the beginning. Replacing the iTunes namespace is not a goal. Oh, what you drinking?
Show beer.
No. PBR. Water,
yeah. Waterloo peach.
Oh, that's pretty good. Actually, mm-hmm. I like the peach.
Mm-hmm.
Replacing the iTunes namespace is not a goal. Maybe you could call it like a design ambition, or just goal makes it sound like it's one of the core purposes of the namespace's existence or the work.
Mm.
And that's not really the case. It's not the goal to replace the iTunes namespace. It's an ambition that we're designing for. We need to make it an easy transition if that ever becomes a thing that happens. Yeah, Nathan, a happy coincidence. Yes.
Well, that's interesting. Before you continue.
Okay.
So what you're saying is we want to have replacements in case for some reason the iTunes namespace wasn't supported, or I'm not sure what you think would happen.
Podcasting 2.0 is more than just the namespace. podcasting 2.0 is a community of people trying to make sure that podcasting technology is in the hands, is open and in the hands of people and not companies.
I love that. And YouTube.
So in that vein, we ultimately don't want namespaces that are critical to the way podcasting works to be controlled by private companies. We don't, that's not what we want. We want it to be, when you want something that's critical to it, if there's something that's critical to podcasting infrastructure or technology, we as Podcasting 2.0 want changes to that thing to be done by communities of people, not private companies meeting in private boardrooms. So
I like it.
In that regard, the iTunes namespace is a thing that we want, that is the antithesis of that. Mm-hmm. Apple controls the iTunes namespace. We're not in that. We're not at the table. The best we can do, we're not allowed to participate. The best we can do is beg them and ask them to do stuff. What if we want better versions of the iTunes tags? Case in point, perfect example.
Block.
NPR.
Oh.
Block. Yes, yeah, block.
Block. Block. Just keep with block.
NPR wanted to add an attribute to the season.
Seasons, yeah.
Tag.
Yeah.
To allow you to put a name, to name a season. We could have begged Apple to do it for 10 years and just hoped that one day they listened and did it.
Yeah.
Or we could just duplicate that tag, make sure it's backwards compatible with the iTunes version, and then modify it ourselves while maintaining the backwards compatibility, which is what we did. And if we do that enough, if we take that approach, and the approach is this: if somebody wants a better version of an iTunes tag, then we duplicate the tag, add the new feature to it that they want, while maintaining backwards compatibility, and maybe 10 years from now, or sometime in the future, again, not a goal. This is not a, it's not a goal to do this necessarily, but at some point in the future, there may come a time when the podcast namespace essentially has all of the same tags as the iTunes namespace with extra features so that they're better. And then at that point, the podcast namespace is already so widely disseminated amongst hundreds of thousands of feeds
and apps
and not YouTube that at that point it really does become feasible that you can make, that you can just switch. It becomes a drop-in replacement.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation because although I have not seen it, it is my understanding that from the Pod News Weekly Review that James Cridlin was out there fighting with people in the GitHub saying, no, this tag already exists. It's iTunes tag and you don't need to recreate this. So that's that, so there's a disconnect there.
I would agree with him in this sense. If there's nothing we can offer as an improvement on that tag, I see no reason to duplicate it.
Copy that. Yeah.
But if we can offer, if there's a clear thing that would be an improvement to that tag, I don't mind duplicating it because you got two options. Okay. It's like, okay, we have this tag, block tag. This thing is not sufficient. It is not doing the job that it's designed for. It is a inadequate piece of namespace technology. We can do better. So we have two options. Three options. First option, we can beg Apple for a decade, in which the likelihood of them doing anything is zero, maybe 1%. Option number two, we can duplicate the tag into the podcast namespace, add the feature, make it better, and then it becomes, as we all hope, a standard.
Right. So
people stop using the iTunes version and switch to our version.
Right. So the perfect example of that is category. Right. As we move to more freeform categories.
I don't think we're going to conflict with the category tag. Mm-hmm. I think what we're doing is going to be something else. I don't think it's going to be a direct conflict because what we're doing is going to end up being more like the keywords.
Yeah. Hashtags. Yeah,
so I think they'll live together.
Okay. In perfect harmony.
Ebony and I. But then the third option is the option that we don't want to do. And it is a hostile takeover of the iTunes namespace.
Yeah, no, that we don't want that. That's no fun.
No.
Who needs that?
We don't want to start saying, you know, adding things to the iTunes namespace without their permission.
But I'll tell you, I have a sneaky suspicion that one day in the future, it may be within this 10-year time frame, I could easily see the European Union forcing Apple to divest of podcasts and have that something that is not pre-installed anymore.
Yeah. Possible.
And there'd be options for people to choose, and that may negate their power over many things.
I'll go one step further. I would not be surprised if at some point in this 10-year period, some people may think I'm crazy, but I don't think I am. If Ted Hossman calls up and says, hey, we want to merge the iTunes namespace with the podcast namespace, wouldn't surprise me one bit. Merge the two things together.
Really? What would the benefit be? Why would they want to do that? And by that time, Ted Hossman really needs to think about retiring. I mean, he's going to be 100 by the time that happens.
He's already 100. Have you seen his beard?
Interesting thought.
Yeah. So I can see it because we got to remember that podcasting doesn't make Apple any money. You know, it's really the last labor of love within the company. It's the last throwback to an old Apple that existed, you know, for ideals bigger than just money.
For the people.
For the people, yeah.
For the crazy ones.
The crazy ones. This is a vestigial organ that's attached to the Apple.
So just to kind of divest a little bit from it and feel like it's been put in a good place. Hey, those two yahoos, sounds like a good idea. Let them maintain it all.
Yeah, and that means we have to have staying power. It's got, you know, we got to stick around long enough for people to see that that podcasting 2.0 is the right place to house something like this. Is a trusted community where this is going to be taken forward. Because I don't know that they're necessarily in. I mean, they don't get anything out of the iTunes namespace. I mean, they just don't. So I could see them in the future. I mean, they already linked to the podcast namespace from the iTunes namespace documentation.
True.
I mean, to me, that looks like the first step towards 10 years from now. Pappy Van Hossman calls up and says, you know, hey, let's have a chat. So I'm just saying that I hope it's not clear, but I think it has to not, it's not the goal necessarily, but it has to be on the radar because
our overall mission is.
Yeah, our mission is not letting podcasting be owned by huge corporations. Right on, and so right it has on. To be part of it.
Right on. Yeah. A little gear switch.
Yeah, sure.
Eric PP, I saw some pull requests going back and forth It looks like there's a new version of Helipad coming, which will allow me to set up pew-pew, custom pew-pew sounds.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did. He's on fire with the helipad I'm nowadays.
So that will mean that we can have a secret boost number. And if you boost with the right number, bells and whistles go off, and then you get a prize.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
Stuff like that. I'm excited about that. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we need to...
Which is kind of the start of something that you said, like rapifying all this great stuff. And there's still stuff that happens in IRC that, you know, we really have no idea how to access. And it just shows up and people turn stuff on, you know, boost bots and all that stuff. I mean, it feels somehow like Helipad is a great place to put a lot of that functionality. They can go back out. So, you know, I'd love to be able to have Helipad say, okay, you know, you connect your IRC to here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be cool. And because you could basically run your own boost bot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think he said you could sideload. He said he's got a not fully tested version that you can sideload.
Yeah, but whenever I sideload, then my Start 9 doesn't know that, you know, there's a new version, and it's and then I have to go back and I have to reload every single boost from the moment my node went up. That's kind of a downer.
That is a downer.
It's like loading the blockchain. Oh, by the way, dude, I got, I want to mention that. I got one of those, what's it called? The Founders Edition of the, what's that thing called? It's a bit, a future bit. Mm-hmm. Future bit. Have you heard of these guys?
No.
Futurebit.io. So it's a full node. Is it Futurebit? Yeah, Futurebit.io.
That's pretty.
Yeah. It's a full node, which you can also use as a desktop, interestingly enough, and because it has Ubuntu on it.
Did you get the Apollo 2 or the Apollo BTC? Yes, the
Founders Edition.
Cool.
Yeah, and it does like seven tera hashes, a gigasecond flop, whatever. at
GFPS. Yes.
At 190 watts. That's
the Apollo 2 is the culmination of news.
That's pretty good.
It's a miner.
Yeah.
It's a mining rig.
Yeah. It's a mining. Yes. You can hook it up to, I'm just running it solo. I'm going to get me a block.
You can solo mine a block.
Oh yeah, I'm that guy. I'm gonna be that guy who's gonna mine his own block for sure. Yeah, it's made in America. It's up to 10 terahash hash power.
Oh, you got the Founders Edition. So what's the Founders Edition shipped first?
Yeah,
limited run. Okay. Oh, it's orange. It's in Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah. Like burnt dark orange. Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's a miner that you don't put in the garage. It's really interesting.
What is the difference between a standard and a full node? Miner plus full node. You have to be a miner only version of a product. Simply plug in your provider.
Yeah, if you want a solo, I think you got to have a full node.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm on
$1,000. That's a lot cheaper than an ant miner.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a pool right now because it comes, of course, without the blockchain. So you got to download the blockchain. That always takes a few days. But once that's done, full on solo mode, baby.
Solo mine to your own pre-installed Stratum solo pool.
That's right. You want to join my pool?
Wait, so that's about to ask you. So if I got one,
you can join.
Connect to your pool.
Yeah, we can. We can mine together, honey.
Oh, think of it. Great.
think of the opportunity. Think of the community we could build.
Think of the home heating capacity.
Yeah, right.
This will deliver.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's got an HDMI port on the side of it.
I'm telling you, it's a full on Ubuntu install. And it's
does it have a desktop?
Well, it kind of looks yes.
As Ubuntu. A GUI desktop.
Yeah, Ubuntu. And it kind of
weird.
Did I do that wrong? Someone, hold on a second. I thought it was Futurebit.
Futurebit.io/home is where I'm at.
Yeah, like I post that in the. I thought I posted that into the. There we go.
connect a monitor to it or configure over Ethernet, automatically start syncing a full Bitcoin node.
It looks a bit like Apple had one of these cubes at one point. Remember the cube? Apple had a cube. Yeah. It's a little bit like that.
How big is it? Well, I can't see the dimensions.
It's bigger than the Apple cube, but it looks nice. I mean, look at it. Oh, that's kind of a handsome unit.
So that's such a handsome unit. What is there? Is it like 12 inches by 12 inches, or is it more?
No,
like
smaller than
6
that.
6 by 6.
I'd say 7 by 7.
Ooh, that's not very big at all.
Mm-mm. Huh. Hey, want to play some music?
I would love to.
Okay. So I'm kind of on this Friday thing where like, it's Friday. How you feel? You ready for a banger? You ready for a banger? No, hold on a second. I found this thing. I want to play this. Something. I found this from an old daily source code. Daily source code thing. Hold on a second. Let me see. I've been looking for this intro. I think the guy who did this died. He may still be alive, but I love it so much.
Something remarkable is happening here. Radio is springing free of the regulated gatekeepers who've managed what you can hear since radio was invented. It's jumping into the hands of anyone at all with something or nothing to say.
Every sentiment will be a familiar plot line. Every line of mine, I guarantee, will be plagued to rot. It's gonna be alright, I can promise you. It's a standard arc that your character has to go through. It's gonna be alright, enjoy the ride. That's why you'll never get past the audition. It's gonna be alright, I can promise you. It's a standard arc that your character has to go through. It's gonna be alright, enjoy the ride. I've seen the end of this one.
How about that?
Oh, that was a banger.
I knew you'd like it.
That's yeah.
The Protagonist, Death by Lions.
Nice. The name man, of, the quality the of music on Value for Value is...
It's dynamite. Yeah,
it
found,
is great.
I found that on Side Street Music Podcast. Cody played it. I was like, oh, this is so good. It's yeah, so that, good.
There is great music out there. That if you can just turn on any of the music shows.
Yeah. And let it rip.
It feels like the radio.
Let it rip. Exactly. LM Beats, you know, if you can listen to any of the shows and listen to all the music.
Bug fixes, by the way. I'm glad you mentioned Ellen Beats.
Ah, okay. Oh, yes. Your API search fix bug thing.
Yes, search fix bug thing. That's right. Yeah. Fix. I love fixing bugs, especially when it's like a suspended cord that resolves. You know, you're like, oh. So two endpoints that were affected by this bug. They both used the same underlying function, like lower level function. So it all came down to a SQL issue. So the bug was this. So it's the episodes by feed ID endpoint. That was one of them. And the by medium tag was the other that were affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
If you would ask for a specific number of episodes, you would get back a different amount.
Yeah, that's what we call a bug, Dave. That is recognized as a bug. Yes.
If you asked for 20 episodes, you may get back 16. If you asked for 100, you may get back 80.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a clear bug. Where it became weird, though, was the way the bug was expressed in the by medium tag. So the by medium tag, once you got up to, like, let's say you're asking for all the feeds that were had music medium. And you say, okay, I want 2,700, you know, like I want 3,000 feeds. That wouldn't work. Mm. It would just time out. So Stephen B is the one that found the magic number. As you're creeping up, you cannot go above 2,750 as the max count.
What a random number.
Yeah. So, well, it turns out that's the number that would. It was a
Stack Overflow memory leak.
It was a slowly escalating, long running query that once you got beyond about 2007, sometimes you could go higher, but once you got beyond that, the query was taking so long on the database side that it would fail.
Yeah.
It would time out. The API would abandon the query. So this ended up being a problem. I don't use an ORM, which is like it builds your SQL for you. I do all the SQL statements by hand.
Because you're a man.
In assembly.
That's right.
what I didn't realize was that my SQL does what's called early row lookups. So you can think of a database like this, okay? Or a database table. So think of like an index is like a second table. So you have a table of data, and an index is almost like a separate table where the records are pointers from the indexed columns into the primary key in the indexed table. If that makes sense. So you have this, the index is this separate sort of like hidden table over here where all it's doing is keeping track of relationships between the indexed value and the primary key of the indexed table.
A traditional,
sorry.
So you can look, so looking up the data. So looking up, if you have your index over here, and that's what you want to always live in your index, because that's mostly in memory. If your database is machine as well, you know, it's got enough RAM, that kind of thing, it's in memory, and it's fast. So going to get the row data itself is slow, because that's sometimes it's on disk, and that's, you don't want to have to do that until basically the very last minute. So because what can happen is, you know, what would be terrible is if you go and get all the data from the actual table off disk, then you determine that some of the filtering in either in the where clause or in the group by or something has filtered out some of those rows. Cause now you've fetched a bunch of rows that you didn't even need.
That sounds very inefficient.
It's highly inefficient. So what you want is a database that does something called late row lookups.
This is sexy SQL talk with Dave Jones. Sexy SQL.
And this, MySQL does not do this. So you have to sort of work around, you have to finagle MySQL to get it to avoid this issue. So, cause what, if you, an imp, a well, a, excuse me, a poorly thought out use of something like group by or order by can trigger this problem where you end up fetching, you know, 100,000 rows and then you actually only deliver 5,000 of them. So right. That was the issue here. What was confusing me is that it was being triggered by the order.
Were you as confused about the problem as I am about the explanation?
I had to reverse engineer the explanation after I figured out what the problem was.
So okay.
What was confusing me is that it was triggered by the order by clause. And so what was happening is I was ordering the SQL result by timestamp on the episodes. Cause you like, I wasn't ordering it by the primary index, primary key. I was ordering it by the timestamp because that's a more accurate reflection of the chronological order of the feed. So the order by the timestamp is an indexed column. So I'm like, why is this slow? This doesn't make any sense. And what I had to do to fix it was basically this statement has like four different joins. It joins like four different other tables into it when it's running. So what I had to do is basically make a subquery that would only get it only worked with the primary key. That's all it did. There was no other things being asked for or filtered on. Then that subquery was going to be very fast. Then it hands it back to the outer query, which does all the joins and orders it, because at that point it's ordering by a much smaller set of data. So once that was figured out, then it fixed all of these problems all at once. So now everything works the way you would expect. When you ask for 100 episodes, you actually get 100 episodes. And that was because there was another issue. I was trying to work around this issue many, many, almost at the beginning of the API. I was trying to work around this issue without understanding. I was in a rush and I didn't understand what the problem was. And so I had put like a false floor on this. So what was happening when you would ask for like episodes by feed ID, you would ask for 100 episodes. It was putting like a false time constraint on it to try to limit the set of rows that it was looking for, which is a dirty, ugly, awful way. It's just completely broken. But I'd forgotten I had done this, and so it was like, let's try to limit it to like, if you ask for 25 episodes, let's try to limit it to like 6 months. And if you ask for 100, let's limit it to like a year. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like trying to put like this false time constraint on it. It's just so horrible. And now it doesn't matter. Like all that's fixed. If you can ask for 100 episodes, it doesn't matter if some of the episodes were 10 years ago, you're going to get everything. So we're good to go on that. The only thing that I need to add is somebody asked for in the GitHub, somebody asked for essentially like a mode of where this where this API will work differently. So what they were saying, some people may not know that when you ask, when you call the episodes by feed ID endpoint, you can give it multiple feed IDs.
Mm.
So you can say, I want 100 episodes from these 7 different feeds. And it will give you back everything it can find from those 7 feeds up to a result count of 100. This person on the GitHub said, I want that, but I want to get that many results from each feed. If I ask for 7 feeds and I ask for 20 episodes, I want to get 20 episodes from each feed. So it would be a total of 140.
Yeah, baby. Keep talking. How many did you, if you ask for what did you expect to get?
If you ask for 7 feeds, 20 episodes, you expect to get 140 episodes.
Oh, yeah. I need 120 episodes. You have otherwise, got me all worked up with your sexy sequel.
This is the way you don't fall asleep.
That's right. Don't fall asleep. Call 999 Dave Sexy Sequel.
This is how you entertain yourself, by fiddling with buttons?
Oh, no. I went to a whole website. I searched for porn music. I was pre-listening. I'm like, oh, this is not quite it. And like, oh, this is the one. Yeah, here we go.
I can always tell when you let something slip in. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. I can always tell that you're screwing around.
I love how it started, though. Oh, yeah. Hey, Dave. Got any more of that sexy sequel talk, baby?
I'm fresh out. I used it all on you, sugar.
Oh, that's too bad.
So that's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. Period. End of story.
I paid for that. I pay for that music, by the way. I'll have you know. Oh yeah,
you paid for that.
Well, I have. I pay for a music service. Absolutely.
Yeah. What service do you use?
Oh, I just closed it. I used. What do I use here? What's it called? It's like an annual. What's it called? Elements Envato. Envato.com. Envato.com. For all your sexy soundtracks. Envato.com.
You're really getting your money. You're getting your money's worth.
Yeah. It's like even that's where I got our show theme from. You know, this. I bought that.
Oh yeah, so you're music. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Envato Elements.
Oh man. All right. So do we have anything else that we must cover today?
I had on my list for the open podcasts.
Yes, I had that on my list. API, I actually had it up pretty high, actually.
But that's fine. We can kick it to next week.
The open podcast API specification. Mm-hmm. You were thinking of building a reference server?
Yeah, and I did some more research on it this week. And mm-hmm. We can come back to it next week. I mean, it's fine. There's no rush on that.
Mm. I guess. Now, do we have a guest next week? We got a guest coming up. Who do we have next week?
We do. We have Eric from the R podcast. Eric built the podcast dashboard for us, the one that shows all the duplicates and all the issues.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What else does Eric do? What does the R podcast?
He does the R podcast. R is a programming language that's used a lot for like stats and scientific data analysis. Yes.
We have interesting people.
For sure.
Really have interesting people. Eric. Oh, he's in the boardroom. Eric.
Yeah.
Bring your bathing suit, Eric. We'll put you in the hot tub.
I didn't know we had a hot tub. I feel gypped. I didn't know the boardroom even had a hot tub.
Yeah. We're the only boardroom with a hot tub.
How do we afford that?
Well, it's more like a warm tub. It's not really hot. It's just warm. We can't heat it up that much.
It's more like room temperature.
Yeah, room temperature tub.
Exactly. Yeah, I got you.
Hey, let's thank some people. We got been hearing boosts going on throughout the entire show. Let's see what we got. Well, right there we have 5,000 sats from our podcast from Eric. That's r-podcast. Pouring out one for Google Reader, he says. It was my first gateway to consuming RSS content. Excited for our dive into the PI dashboard next week. Yeah, me too. I love that one.
That's,
go ahead.
It sounds like a podcast about pirates, right? The R podcast.
R. Yeah. I love it that, you know, we just delay talking about something long enough until someone will finally give up and come on the show to talk about it.
Oh man, you blew my, you've exposed my strategy.
Your strategy. Dreb Scott, who has been, indeed has been doing, GIFs in our chapter art, which has looked dynamite. I'm sorry, not Dreb Scott. Dreb Scott is just, wait, who, yes, Dreb Scott. Yes, Dreb, I'm so confused.
You had a brain, you just had a brain meltdown.
Brain, you know why? It's because of the lukewarm tub. That's what happened.
Yeah, it's the peach waterless.
He's been doing crazy things with the GIFs. It's all kinds of GIFs. I mean, people are making me GIFs now. I got to put GIFs everywhere. 4567 from Dreb. The only way I could find to surface my pod role is True Fans. He really does implement everything. And he has, yeah, because Dreb now has a podcast of ISOs, which is worth checking out.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that Dreb is dabbling. He's sticking his toe in the water.
Yeah, he's dabbling. Nice. I'm going to put that into the boardroom there. 3333 from Eric PP. And Eric boosted that for the protagonist. Remember, when you're boosting a song, you can always go back and you can always rewind and even pause it and boost. Remember to tell them where you heard it. Tell them you heard it on Podcasting 2.0. 5,000 sats from Sam Sethi. Nice to see in the version 0.1.11 of Helipad, I now have the True Fans logo. It's Ooh. Nice to see the True Fans logo pop up. Although I can't reply, unfortunately, with Sam's. I'd love to be able to reply, Sam Sethi, or as people in America call him, "Hey Seth." True Fans already replaces the Apple category list if medium equals music. So we take the primary Apple category, i.e., music. Then we use the Wavelake music category list to add other options like rock, soul, etc. Apple will never release a music taxonomy, so we work around them. No, I mean, it's not even working around them, but just working ahead of them. That's a good way to do it. I'm sure that everyone else is going to follow this suit. That's a good idea. So if medium equals music, then you just move over to the Wavelake music category. Where does that live? I know they have a place for it. I'd just like to point to it.
It's on their GitHub.
It's on Wavelake's GitHub.
Yeah, I think there's a link to it in the category, in the podcast category discussion thread.
Oh, good. Yeah. Another 5,000 from Sam Sethi. The iTunes namespace is not open. It's controlled by Apple. They can change it, but everyone else can't. If we want to add their category list, we can ask, but they can and will refuse. Sam, big fan of Apple. Big fan of apps now these days.
Huge Apple fan.
And another 5,000 sats from Sam Sethi. He's clearly hit the Pinot Noir, everybody. He's up late. He's drinking. We have enabled artist feeds with our music publisher feeds. They work the same way. We have events and ticketing next for artists and a merch store with on-demand delivery. Payment is both in fiat or sats.
Ooh.
Sam is building an empire over there, man. TrueFans.fm. And another 5,000 sats from Sam Sethi. True Fans have enabled publisher feeds. We have 131 live already. I don't think Sovereign Feeds doesn't do publisher feeds yet. That would be cool. I'd love to do that. I'd love to have. I know that Stephen B is so busy, but I'd love to. I'd love to do an example of a publisher feed because I'm a publisher.
I'm glad that Steven has slowed down a little bit because he was going too fast.
He was burning up on reentry.
Yes. We could tell. He's losing tiles. Yeah.
I had a little quick chat with him this week. He's doing good. He's doing good. We're very happy. Another 4567 from Dreb Scott. Chapters may be a bit delayed. He says, I have a very busy weekend starting at noon today until late Sunday, hoping to squeeze in chapters somewhere in there. You know what? Dreb. Family first, brother. It's all good. He does so many chapters for so many different podcasts that I'm happy they happen at all. Thank you, brother. We really appreciate it.
I'm thankful for everybody.
Everybody who contributes. And anyway, time, talent, treasure.
I don't want anybody to burn out.
No. 1776 from Salty Crayon. Good afternoon, boardroom. Some positive notes. Survival Guide got her track Bad Little Seed used in a UK show coming out as the intro. V for V Music is working. Go podcasting. Nice. Survival Guide. Oh, I know Survival. She, wow. Hold on a second. So Survival Guide, I think she's an Austin musician. Survival Guide. Hold on a second. I am using the ever effervescent split kit to search for this. It always takes a second because it's getting all those, it's retrieving everything from Dave's fixed API.
You hope?
No, not right. I'm not so sure, actually.
I promised something maybe I didn't deliver.
What's the title of it? It's Bad Little Seed. Bad Little Seed.
Survival Guide is Emily from San Antonio.
Yes, Mike Newman, so. Yes. That's great. It's on Death Dreams, I think. Bad Little Seed. Okay, hold on a second. Do you mind if I just, that we just check it out for 1 second?
Hit it.
Okay. Well, I'm fast. I'm not that fast, Dave.
Go.
Okay. Please. Please.
I'm trying to time it right.
Yeah, it's horrible what you're doing here. Okay. This is Bad Little Seed. Ooh. Oh, yeah. I played this on the ball. Hit me now.
Place cards and a piece. She asks me what she did wrong. How disappointing.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. And you can boost that. Even that little bit, you can boost.
Yeah, you split kitted that right. You spliced it right in.
I did. I love it. I did. Excellent. Well, V for V Music is indeed working. And then all of a sudden we get a 45,678 boost from Treb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of Podcasting 2.0. And he says, appreciate all you guys do. Special shout out to Stephen B's Sovereign Feeds that made it possible to start my podcasting by osmosis project, excitedly named Dreb Scott Stuff. We're
Dreb, you need help on the naming front.
Okay. No, I like it. I like Dreb Scott Stuff. Where I've been posting ISOs I've created over the years. He's like, it's like 20 episodes. Ooh. Check it out. Just try and boost before your app ends or switch it to the next episode. Literally, each episode is an ISO. Thanks to all those that have been answering my questions. Hashtag go podcasting. Thank you, brother. 410 sats from Anonymous. I'm sorry. 808 from Booberry. There we go. On May 22nd, I'll be demoing a lit RSS feed for the Minnesota Blockchain Initiative. Can't wait to use SplitKit for the presentation instead of PowerPoint. Yeah, ooh, that's cool. That's very cool. Booberry, man. He's out there. And the Tone Wrecker, 20,000 sats. Pre-show boost today, sending out a shout-out to our high school robotics team, 2052, entering the Minnesota State Championship tomorrow. Let me hear you holla, Nightcrawler!
Holla!
And with that, I think I hit the delimiter.
No, we've got no one-off PayPals.
Uh-oh.
This week. No. Yeah, we got it.
It was slow and slow. You know, April is a bad month for value. Dvorak and I were looking at it. It turns out every year for 16 years, April is a very slow month. And I'm not talking about, it's a number of donations. Just purely the number of people. It has to do with taxes. Has to do with all kinds of different stuff, but it's always been a tough month.
Yeah, so a big cancellation of a monthly came in, and then another smaller cancellation of a monthly came in. So it was definitely
hard times too, baby. It's hard times for people. Hard times.
Hiring lowest level since 2017.
That's right. Hard times.
I know things are hard out there. We definitely have boostergrams though. We got Chad Farrow. 3333 from Fountain. He says, I missed this live because I was waiting around for Joe Martin's concert to go live. That's right. We conflicted last week.
Yeah. I did see some of it. I saw some of the concert, just a little bit. Look good.
Paul Erskine, 10,001 sats. That's a 10001 through Fountain. He says, Retro Boost. Here's to Dave's Adam, can you hear me? Gag. When the power went out on episode 176.
That was so mean.
I was laughing for a few minutes. That was mean. Stay safe, y'all.
It was mean.
4,000 sats from Oppie 1984, 4,000, he said, at the fountain, he says, boost.
Yeah.
Boost. Ooh, a Satchel Richards from Just Listening. 1111 through Fountain. He says, I can hardly even get through the first clip. Cat GPT sounds like a feline explaining how she is going to eat your balls while you slumber and why you should be happy about it. Okay.
Right. Thanks. Okay.
Alrighty. Thanks, Just Listening. Sir Brian of London, 21948.
Wow.
Through Castomatic. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that.
No, buddy. No boost. Oh, he's got
no. He's got a note. He says, Hive beats both Noster and ActivityPub in one crucial respect. You don't need the hosting company or podcaster to host their own hardware. Podcasting 2.0 hasn't paid for Podping hosting in 2+ years. Just saying.
Is that because it's self-sustaining or is Brian paying for it? I don't understand.
It's got something to do with Hive staking that I don't understand. Like somehow you stake a portion of Hive and then it just does something.
Okay, as long as Brian's not paying for anything.
I've asked him multiple times and he says that it's not costing him any money.
Okay. All right. That's all.
It's got something to do with, like, I don't understand staking in general, but it's got something to do with, like, you stake this much.
Yeah, you put some money up. You put some money
up.
Yeah,
and then as long as it stays there, like it just keeps rolling or something. He can explain it to me, and I will return the information.
Okay.
Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast, Satchel Richards 1111. He says, I don't think my last live boost got through. Oh no. Guys, I'm worried. After all that gunfire, the ad safety human SLAs are going to block and demonetize you. I'm going over and enabling auto downloads on Apple to help you out. You're welcome. Thank you, Kyron.
Hook us up, man. Smash that like button. Switch on Apple's auto download. Hook us up, brother. You really help us a lot. Thanks, man.
Sir Bill. 100,000 sats.
Whoa. That deserves a
baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And come on in, Sir Bill. Come on into our room temperature tub. Join us. The tepid tub. Join us. Does he have a boostagram?
He says, boost your favorite podcasts! !
Yeah. Boost it with an ! Boost!
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Let's see.
Tub is filling up.
Everybody loves a tepid tub. Ainsley Costello.
Hey, Ainsley.
Through Fountain, she sends a boost, 2,500 boost to the artist last week. What did we play last week?
That's a good question.
That was a boost for the song we played. I can't remember.
The song we played last week was, hold on, it was Sweet Cheeks, The Velvix.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. She boosted that.
Oh, cool.
She says, heard it on the board meeting.
Ah, there you go. That's how you do it. Thank you. Thank you, Ainsley.
Kyron comes back again for another Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says, Cat GPT is super clever. Great wordplay, Dave. Also, I just crossed 1,000,000 sats of support via Fountain. Woo!
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to give him a
baller. Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And Kyron, as you know, when you're a member of the Million Satoshi Club, you've got a spot in the tepid tub. Always open.
No, Kyron goes. No, Kyron goes bareback. He's not allowed in the tub. No,
bareback in the tepid tub.
This is a swim trunks only tub. Get that out of here, Kyron.
It is overflowing here in the tepid tub.
You nasty man. Get that out of here. See. Yeah, he says, you guys have earned every bit of them. Go podcasting.
Yeah, go podcast. Oh, there we go.
Go podcasting!
Chad F., 167 sats as part of a boost to High Gravity to celebrate the first anniversary of VTS.
Nice.
He went back and boosted.
Oh, he went back and boosted that? Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. I love that.
And it still works.
Of course it does. Of course, this stuff will be around forever, man.
Mm-hmm. Episode 131, Toilet Scroller.
Gee, there's some common theme with us, Dave. There's bathroom humor everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
If it's not a toilet, it's a tub. I'm telling you.
It's called childishness. Gene Everett, 3333, through Fountain, he says, I can hear the vocal fry slipping in from the NPR lady. I can hear JCD in my head calling it out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Oh, and we got the delimiter.
There he is.
26,000 sats from a broccoli filled comic strip blogger through Fountain.
Broccoli filled?
He loves broccoli.
He's filled with broccoli. Okay.
He loves broccoli. It gives me gas, but whatever. Hiya, Adam and Dave. I'd like to recommend a podcast titled Unrelenting, which is available at www.unrelenting.show. Hosted by Darren, who hails from Chicago War Zone, and Gene, who was born in Russia but lives now in Texas. This podcast offers a unique perspective thanks to Gene's entrepreneurial background, making it quite intriguing. Additionally, Unrelenting serves as the opening act, the fluffer, for the Podcasting 2.0 podcast.
And there it is. Thank you very much, Comic Strip Blogger. Unrelenting. The fluffer for the big show.
Yo, CSB. Yo. The fluffer.
Do you know that that I did the entire voiceover for an actual porn movie in the 80s?
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you did.
Yes,
not.
I did. I'm telling you, it received an award from Hustler magazine when I was, 17. Now, listen, I was 17. I was doing my pirate radio show.
This in is English or Dutch?
In English, this is a true story. I was doing my pirate radio show in Amsterdam on Decibel Radio, and you know, I was using the name John Holden. You know, that was so right there. It's already like John Holden, Decibel Radio, ladies. And so there was this the very famous guy in Holland, Willem van Cote, and he owned a big record company. He's still alive. He's in his late 80s. I've talked to him from time to time, and he financed this movie, which was about a club called Yabyum, Yabyum. You can look it up. Yabyum, I think, is still a sex club today. And it was this whole movie in Amsterdam where this detective, it was starred Annette Haven, who I don't know if she's still with us, but she was an actual adult film star. They'd gotten some British actor who was playing a detective, and he was really perfect for the role, if you know what I mean, but he had a very wimpy English accent, and so they wanted me to dub his voice, and I did the whole movie, and I think it got the Fully Erect Penis Award from Hustler Magazine, and I still it's true.
You ADR'd.
Yeah, I did the ADR. I was like, I'm from a city health inspection, ma'am. I mean, I can remember some of the lines. I bet if I saw the movie, I could still do some of those lines.
So he was purely hired for the size of his microphone
yes,
stand.
Exactly. Yes, mic stand. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That was my early career. Who knew? I just remembered this.
Oh, I've got to get clips from this. Somebody please find
some clips. Hold on. It's called, let me see, movie Hot Pursuit.
That's the name of the movie,
yes, Hot Pursuit. Called Hot Pursuit. Let me see. 1987. No. Let me see. We'll probably have to put in adult movie. 80. Yeah, there it is. 80. It's on IMDb.
Did you have a credit? Are you credited?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Oh, well, we got to find this out. That's got to be.
Oh, man. Would it be funny if they had a clip from it? Let me see. Oh, something went wrong. Their hyperdrive motivator has been damaged. Oh, now here we go. Annette Haven as Little Miss Shirley. Abel Kane was the detective. No, I don't think I get a credit. There's a director.
Oh, man, you did the total overdub and you don't get any credit.
Complete over. No, I don't think I got any credit. No, they should add me to this though. Oh man.
What a crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, you're I don't know what to say about that. Did they pay well?
Nah, I don't. It didn't really matter that much. It was more than just a. It was a feature film. It was a lot of dialogue in this.
Yeah, I bet. It's like, I mean, that's a bunch of stuff.
Hey, a lot of ready for the dive? Oh, yeah. Oh, baby.
Yeah, it's just a lot of that. You could just like take a few cuts of that and then just like loop it.
And I remember I'll just finish up with this. That's right. And then,
hey, how did it end?
No, but I remember that had to do a scene with a female ADR, and it was this beautiful black woman, and we're both in the studio moaning, you know, in sync. Just, but you know, she's like in a tracksuit, and I'm in my jeans, and I just remember how weird it was. Oh yeah, yeah, baby. It's one of those very, very, very weird things.
This is what was the music video for "Sweet Emotion"? That's what it reminds me of. With, you know, the end of that music video.
Yeah.
The end of the video, the lady ironing, and she's doing the phone sex line.
Yes. And it's like, yeah, yeah. That's kind of what it was. That's kind of what it was. I have not talked about that in at least 30 years. And why would you? Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like, you don't want that cat out of the bag. Oops.
No, I don't think there's any, it would be funny if we could still find it. I probably have the VHS somewhere in my, in a box somewhere.
If we don't get clips of this by next week,
I'll be very disappointed. Yeah.
It would have been better in Dutch, but I'll take English. That's fine.
Oh man. All right.
Okay.
Are we done? Have we completed our broadcast today? Okay. Hey brother, have yourself a great weekend, Dave.
All right, man. You too, bro.
Thanks everybody in the board, and we'll see you back here on Friday for Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Everything is broken.